He is the Deputy Commissioner of the National Hockey League. He's Bill Daly, and he's in studio. Nice to see you. How are you?
Nice to see you, gentlemen. I'm good.
You're early. The summit doesn't start till Monday. What are you doing here?
Summit starts on Monday. We actually, R&D camp that we're the National Hockey League is sponsoring out at the MasterCard Center. First day of 2 days of scrimmages where we're trying on rules.
I saw the whole list. We went over the whole list. I can't remember who with. Last week. Is there anything in there that you think, you personally would think is, like, close? Like, really? Because there's some goofy stuff.
There's some goofy, what people would consider goofy things, but a lot of good ideas start as goofy.
Yes, I would acknowledge that. But all I'm saying is it's really difficult to see some of these things being implemented anytime soon. But there are some, are there some things that you think, you know what, we're maybe, like, that close?
Of the rules we were trying today that I saw, none that I would expect a wave of support for, implementation immediately. But for instance, the hybrid icing rule where, the linesman's given the authority to blow it dead when somebody's won a race. That's something that has intrigued our general managers for a while. They wanted to kind of see it in action. The USHL actually plays with that rule currently, and they see it at the USHL level. But with the kids we invited to this camp, they're top prospects. Right. I was very impressed with the level of play of these kids, and they were really hyped about having the stage to be able to be there. You know, probably half of our general managers are there observing. So it was very high tempo, and there was some interesting stuff going on.
See, I would say the two that intrigued me when I saw the list was the no-touch icing, which a lot of people think should be there now, whether it's a hybrid or just basically go to no-touch. The second one is, and I don't know what the answer is, but something with overtime, something that will generate more, fewer shootouts. And I know you're trying a bunch of stuff, 3-on-3s, even down to 2-on-2, I think.
Yeah, we tried that in the morning, although that and was supposed to be on the afternoon agenda. I think we found out enough about it in the morning session, so we scrapped it in the afternoon. So, yeah, there was a variation where we went 4-on-4 for, I think, 4 minutes, down to 3-on-3 for 4 minutes, down to 2-on-2 for 4 minutes, followed by a shootout. I think, 2-on-2 is probably unlikely to ever get there. But clearly there has been support at our general manager level to try a 3-on-3.
Now, before I let you in here, Perk, because we're on this particular topic, I just want to make sure you're aware that I have come up with the answer for overtime. And I don't know if you know that I've come up with the answer.
I don't.
Okay. So here is the answer. This is foolproof. It's very exciting. It's more exciting than the existing overtime. More exciting than the shootout.
Wow. I'm intrigued.
Alternating power plays. A 2-minute power play for one team followed by a 2-minute power play for the other team.
It's kind of like a college football type approach.
Not unlike. And then if that doesn't solve the problem, now you go to a 5-on-3 power play followed by a 5-on-3 power play. The caveat here, or the hook is, you can score as many goals as you want. Unlike the old Montreal Canadiens rule where they changed it, it used to be. Right. So if somebody gets two, that's good. You can keep going. And I'm telling you, if we look at the statistics, there's a big likelihood you could get rid of that crappy shootout altogether.
Now, would it be a 4-on-3 power play or a 5-on-4 power play to start?
No, you start 5-on-4.
Okay.
And then if that doesn't solve it, each
team
gets a 5-on-4.
There's a big difference, by the way, between in terms of our statistics, in terms of the success of a 4-on-3 power play versus a 5-on-4.
Yeah, but what we're going to do is we're going to start 5-on-4, and then we're going to go 5-on-3.
And then how many minutes are you allocating for this?
Two each. 2-minute power play.
So as many as you can score in your 5-on-4 power play.
Yeah, fill your hat.
I think you're asking the goaltenders to set up their own union when they hear about this one.
Well, too bad for them.
But it's not much different than the shootout, though, right?
No, it's not.
A lot of people said the same thing about the shootout, right? The goalies liked it the least. But
now start envisioning this, Daly. Suppose the first team scores two goals on their power play. If you're the head coach of the other team, you're going to start your power play. You pull your goalie right away and go 6-on-4.
Oh.
And if you score into the other team's empty net, it counts. Now they got to score 3.
Yeah. It's interesting. Huh? I've never heard of it.
Huh?
I've never heard of it.
Well, you got to listen more, you see.
Well, here's what I would tell you the criticism would be, which is it's the same criticism of the shootout, which is you can essentially engineer your team. If you've got a good power play, you're more likely to win. And that's not necessarily true in, you know, a normal game.
Yeah, but you know what?
If you have a high octane power play and, you know, great first two lines, you're gonna have a higher prospect of winning that game. Just like if you have great snipers, you have a better prospect to win a shootout. Same type of concept.
Oh yes, but that's what the argument was when you guys went to the shootout. Like if you've got a team of snipers, you have a higher you're going to win more of these.
Right.
The statistics do not bear that out.
There's certain types of snipers that are better on shootouts.
All of
it,
yeah, all of a
no,
sudden
no doubt.
All of a sudden no guys doubt. Who are, you know, I mean you're not going to be a
penalty shot
stiff.
Specialists.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which, you know, I mean you never have any of those.
Yeah.
Is there anybody there who thinks like me that a tie is an honorable result?
Well, yeah, but we're past that. We've already accepted that the NHL is not going to accept that.
But for the majority of your life, a tie was an acceptable result.
I grew up watching hockey. We all grew up watching hockey and accepting that a tie was a tie.
Sure.
You know, and there's nothing wrong with it. It wasn't like kissing your sister. It was like you got a point and away you go.
Sure.
But what we're trying, I mean, if you got to have a, you know, we've gotten to the point where the NHL wants a winner. And they think the fans want a winner. And I'm prepared to accept that.
You know what? I think the motivation, in fairness, was not necessary. That wasn't the end goal, that we have to have a winner to every game. It was really to how do you make the end of the game more exciting. And the concern was you had, especially in an era where there was a lot of clutching and grabbing, you had too many teams playing for ties and too many lower talented team trying to neutralize the skill in the other team by playing for ties. So that was the real motivation is a way, try to come up with some dynamic that will open up the game and make for a more exciting end of the game. And that's really what, you know, what the 4-on-4 was about and ultimately what the shootout was about.
Yeah, does it think it works?
I think the shootout's been enormously successful in terms of fan interest. I think fan interest, you know, I was talking to a couple people during today. You know, we had situations where fans would leave before an overtime. Now you rarely see that because I think a lot of people are very interested in staying around watching a shootout. Some people root for a shootout.
I hate the shootout.
Now, our general managers are concerned to the extent too many points are being earned in shootouts. Does that somehow have a competitive impact over the course of a season? And is that something they're comfortable with? And that's a subject of debate. And I think that's why we're looking at other alternatives for an overtime prior to a shootout, where maybe you can have a higher percentage of games decided in overtime.
Well, fortunately, now you can cancel all this other nonsense that you're doing down there. You have the answer.
Did you send it in to Shanny? Brendan would have taken that.
I don't talk to him.
Brendan would have taken that suggestion.
Well, you
could have talked to me.
Well, I'm talking to you now. I just assumed you were listening.
Well, maybe we're
going
to have to put this on the agenda for tomorrow.
Get it on right away. Get it on.
We'll
you can do that. You are the deputy commissioner. That's what it says so. Right.
So it says right there.
How about a different points format? We've talked about this for a long time too. Of splitting up the points so that you don't get rewarded for losing.
Yeah, we've had this conversation before, and the downside with that is there's history and tradition in the 2-point thing, and you guys don't want it too complicated. Like I came up with the 4-3-2-1 thing a while ago, and you guys poo-pooed that, both you and Gary.
Well, I'm not sure I was ever asked about
it. No, I asked you about it. I talked to you about it.
And I poo-pooed it?
Yes.
Really?
You gave some excuse about why that wouldn't work.
The 3-2-1 is something that's been discussed clearly, repeatedly at the general manager level. And, you know, again, a lot of these things aren't crazy ideas that will never gain acceptance. They're things that are discussed. They have pros, they have cons, they're reasons why you do things. And, you know, sometimes the bureaucracy of having to get a consensus of 30 different clubs makes things difficult, but sometimes it's the right result too. And you don't make reflex reactions. You make thoughtful reactions.
Right. Well,
over time.
We have a bunch of stuff to get to. I want to start out by, we want to talk about the next week and the
summit.
Yeah. I'd be remiss if I didn't talk to you about, was that mine? Oh dear.
It's not mine.
No, that's a $5 fine for me. Who the hell is calling me on the air? And why do I have the,
Take it if it's important. Dave and I can fill in.
No,
it wouldn't be important.
No, no, you can't.
Are the Nets still 6x4? Is that, middle?
Yeah, they are, actually.
Yes, none of our tests today involve bigger nets, but they involve different types of nets. Interesting.
Different types of nets.
A lot of gimmicks, for lack of a better term, to increase visibility for video review. So like a plexiglass on the top of the net, thinner meshing.
Like no mesh, just plexiglass?
Yeah. Thinner pipes around the corners. We also tried, or they're trying today, a net that is not as deep, but the dimension, the 4x6 is the exact same, but it's not as deep. It creates more space behind the net for the defenders and for offensive players behind the net. So a lot of interesting stuff going on.
That sounds stupid, if you want to know the truth. Does it look stupid?
No, you can't actually, to the naked eye, you don't notice the difference.
All right, then go ahead.
Yeah.
The Kovalchuk deal. I must tell you, I'm rarely wrong, so I don't have to admit to being wrong. But I didn't think you guys could win this case. I didn't think you could win it absent your in-depth espionage had some sort of a side deal, a letter of agreement of understanding that Kovalchuk wasn't going to have to play the last fight, something like that. So I figured, absent that, no chance you could get. Well, congratulations, you won
that
deal.
Thank you.
So now, how serious are you about going after others?
I think the decision, the best part of the decision from our perspective is it allows us to rein in where these go, because obviously they were going to a point that, you know, reached the world of absurdity, and I believe the Kovalchuk deal got there. And that's the most important aspect of the decision from my perspective, is it will keep other teams and other players from going further.
But where's the line in the sand?
The line in the sand is a variety of factors. You have to look. I mean,
there isn't one. It's just a matter of...
At this point, there's no bright line. That's correct.
And would you like one of those in the next CBA?
Yeah, I would.
You want?
I would.
Here it is.
Yeah, and I wouldn't rule out the possibility we might talk about a bright line with the Players Association short of the next CBA.
Really?
Because they may not like the current status quo where, you know, we have the ability to pursue these contracts as circumventions.
So we got to take a break, but you I don't know if you've answered the question. Are you actively looking at other deals?
Yeah, we were investigating 4 deals.
And
but that's been the case for over a year. So the Kovalchuk really had no impact on that at all.
And do you think that the fact that you effectively rubber-stamped those deals, where you never rubber-stamped the Kovalchuk deal, might be impactful? Does that concern you?
No. I don't believe we rubber-stamped any of those deals. I don't think we embraced any of those deals. As a matter of fact, each of them were registered expressly with an advisory letter to the club, to all the clubs, all 30 clubs, that we intended to investigate them
to see
if a circumvention occurred.
At the time?
At the time.
Oh, really?
Oh, absolutely. Oh, everybody knows about these investigations. They seem to have become a big surprise to people last week, but they've been ongoing for quite some time.
And there's no time limit on them, right?
No, until we complete our investigation.
Well, how about if the deals kick in? That makes it a little more difficult. Yes? No?
No.
You don't think so?
No. There's a specific provision in the CBA that if there's a circumvention that's determined, that the contract can be deregistered. So there's a provision in the CBA. I'm not saying that's where we're going. I'm not saying we're even considering it right now. It's okay. An option on the CBA.
We got to go. Absolutely, this last question on this topic. So you could go back and undo the DiPietro contract.
Theoretically, we could.
That would be.
I don't think that's a contract that really caused us concern, although that was registered with an advisory letter, too.
What a mess that would be, Daly.
Yeah, I don't think that's on the horizon.
We got more to come. Bill Daly, the deputy commissioner of the NHL, is in studio with us. We'll continue on the Fan Radio Network, Sirius Channel 97 and Rogers Sportsnet. It's prime time on the Fan Radio Network, Sirius 97 and Rogers Sportsnet. Bob McCown, Dave Perkins, and Bill Daly, the NHL deputy commissioner, in studio with us. Perkins is making an argument. And I don't know whether we're going to address it or not, because I don't know whether it's worth discussing. All right, we'll table that. We'll come back to it. So you're here early, but you're here for the other thing. And now you have a whole new raison d'etre for tomorrow, for this for the funny games, the makeup games.
The R&D camp.
Yes. Thank you. That's it. So now we've given you the answer to overtime and shootouts.
Mm-hmm.
So you'll be exploring that tomorrow. And then are you going to go back to New York and then come back on Monday?
Correct.
Okay. And Monday is the Hockey Summit. Monday night it starts.
Yes.
With four, there are four panels.
Hot stove panels.
Yes. That'll be roving around. And you're on one and I'm on another one. So we won't be able to know what each one is saying, which is probably just as well.
Actually, I understand. That's right. You're exactly right. We rove around. And
they stay.
And the audiences stay.
Yeah.
Because it would be tougher to get 100 people to rove around than to get four. That's probably.
I think they figured it out.
Sound logistically.
Probably.
Yeah.
Although we could get very fatigued. And
we could.
Like by the last tour around.
Talking about the exact same thing.
Same thing over and over and over again. Yeah.
Hopefully there'll be more points.
Hopefully, but I doubt it. And then what? The rest of the week?
Well, it's 3 days. On Tuesday, we're actually at the Air Canada Center.
Right.
The Maple Leaf Sports and Entertainment has made their facility available to us. And I believe there's two panels on Tuesday. One's on skill development and player safety issues. The other is on junior hockey worldwide, junior player development. Then Wednesday, we shift sites to the Sheridan,
right.
Downtown Sheridan, and there's, it's International Hockey Day. I think we're reviewing the 2010 Winter Olympic Games in Vancouver. There's a panel in the morning. I believe the commissioner's coming in and speaking in the afternoon at a luncheon. And then I sit on a panel Wednesday afternoon that's going to be talking about a kind of a international event calendar on a more standardized basis, whether we can rationalize kind of the international competition calendar, among the world championships, the World Cup of Hockey, the Olympics, the World Juniors, even how everything fits in and where club teams should be playing versus national teams. So there's a lot of different issues kind of for debate. I mean, look, our players play a long season already. And when they're, asked to do international competition on top of that, it becomes becomes quite the burden. But that's what this is about, whether we can rationalize that. And then on Thursday, we conclude, I think there's a panel in the morning on the future of women's hockey.
Right.
Then a panel on the growth of the game and how we as constituents of the hockey world and universe can work together to grow the game.
I'm a little insulted that the commissioner is not going to be here for my panel, and I think you should be equally insulted that he's not going to be here for yours.
For the hot stove?
Well, it's of course. Don't you think he could learn something?
How do you know he's not going to be here?
Well, you just said he's coming in on Wednesday.
Well, he's going to be, his official role is on Wednesday.
Well, I just assumed that he was only coming in on Wednesday. He won't be here on
Monday
night.
No, he'll have a role in the conference. He's happy to do it.
So is he going to be here on Monday night?
I don't know.
Because I haven't seen him in a long time. And I thought maybe we could bury the hatchet.
I'll have to ask him. Well, I understand you guys tried
I know where he'd like to bury it.
You guys tried to get together in Vancouver. Maybe you'll have another opportunity.
Well, we did. We tried. I mean, I saw you there, and I extended the olive branch right there.
Yeah?
Just before we went in and crashed Rene Fasel's birthday party.
I know he's happy to sit down and talk anytime you are.
Wow,
that was pretty good, huh?
Is the tape rolling?
So here's the deal, Mr. Daly. So we're expending all this energy to reconvene this group of high powered hockey people and me, and people coming from Europe. There's a dozen or something coming from the KHL. People from all over the world.
Yep.
Are convening here. What are your expectations of what we might be able to accomplish, if anything?
You know what? I'm not sure I have any firm expectations. I think whenever you can get people together who are knowledgeable about a subject that they're passionate about and to have an open dialogue on ways you can improve the game, ways you can grow the game, ways you can make the game better, I think lots of things can come of that, positive things. And even if nothing concrete comes from it, it's worth the dialogue. I've always been of the view that the more points of view form a better point of view, and so I welcome the opportunity just to engage in the dialogue.
David, you've been fairly quiet. Something?
Well,
at this point,
that's never happened before. No, is there Is there anything concrete that can come out of this, though, other than talk? Is it just going to be kind of a bitch session with people?
Well, it leads
who
to something, doesn't
something?
It?
Well, I think over time it can lead to things. And if you ask, you had Nicholson in here yesterday. I didn't happen to hear the interview, but I think he, you know, he looks back at the 99 summit and said a lot of good came from that. There were a lot of recommendations coming from that summit, which they tried to implement at the grassroots level in Canada that helped development of hockey players and hockey in Canada. So you never know what can come from these things. Obviously, to the extent you can improve the understanding, you know, there's a lot of relevant constituents in the hockey world and in the elite hockey world. And sometimes we have differences of opinion. Not surprisingly, everybody does. And to the extent you can exchange information and make each other aware of views and the rationale for views, you know, you can forge common ground in areas where you haven't had it before.
Well, I mean, he wants fighting out of the game. You know, and lots of people want fighting out of the game.
Bobby
Nicholson
does.
Said that
Bobby
yesterday.
Bobby does, yeah.
You know, Branch wants it out of the game and everything. The NHL doesn't want it out of the game for whatever reason.
No, I mean, and that's another...
And it's never going to leave the game as long as it doesn't leave the
that's
NHL.
That's a fair example. I won't use fighting. Sure. But there are rules that I believe are 100% appropriate at a junior hockey level. And even at a higher amateur hockey level, that may be totally inappropriate for at a professional level. I think different rule, you know, and I'll use headshots as an example there. The rule for headshots, I think the rule that our general managers fashioned, you know, through a very long process, was the right rule for the National Hockey League. Time will tell, but I don't think our players or our clubs were interested in taking shoulder hits out of the game entirely because they've always been part of the game. They wanted to be a little more precise in how they defined headshots and dangerous headshots, and that's what they look to get out of the game. And we'll see how it works out. But you know, I'm supportive of a more global headshot rule at a minor hockey level. I'm not supportive of it at an NHL level.
Not to get into this too much, but I mean, there's so much navel gazing that goes on in this sport that doesn't seem to go on in other sports. And I mean, it's not you, and it's not Gary, it's not the NHL specifically. It's just the game itself is so protective of its of
status quo.
Yeah. Yes. And the history and the blah 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 blah. And baseball's like that too, to the point of being dinosauric. I mean, you know, the one game I admire. I'm not the biggest NFL fan in the world. But the one thing I admire about the National Football League is they seem not, in their competition committee, to have any trouble changing rules, and then if they don't like it, changing it back. And I know, and nobody, and here's the interesting thing. You guys change, tweak a little thing, and it is like the Columbus has sailed off the edge of the earth. It is a topic for great consternation and debate for weeks. You're nodding your head. You know.
Yeah.
National Football League has this 9-man committee. They meet every summer, and every summer they change 3, 4, 5 rules. And you know who talks about it? Nobody. You can't swing a dead cat without hearing an NFL
they all talk about it, but basically in a positive way. So I think it's a fair observation.
You know,
I can't explain it, but I think it's a fair observation.
I mean, this is what we need to figure out, is we need to figure out why. Why is it that this game is so concerned with every little thing? The National Football League had a problem with hits to the head. They fixed it. The National Football League had a problem with quarterbacks getting drilled. They fixed it. We now have a rule that I don't understand, and I have no idea how your referees are going to call it. Coming into next year, I have no clue. I know you think you've solved the problem. Your general managers think you've solved the problem. I got no clue. And I'm telling you, you and I are going to sit down in January and have a conversation. And you're going to go, I don't know.
We'll see.
Did you have any head hits at the R&D camp today?
No.
No.
No players were injured, at least while I was there.
That's good.
All right. Are we out of time? Is it already that time? We have less than a minute. Well, we didn't cover everything, but we never do. It's good to see you. Hopefully we'll run into each other next week, although... I don't know, because we're going to be...
Well, are you going to attend the rest of the conference? Are you going to make an appearance?
Well, I'm vacation.
I understand this was your idea.
Well,
you're one of the founders of the conference.
Well, Bobby called me. Bob was in here, and we were talking, we had a phone conversation, and I brought up 99. Are you ever going to do another one? And that night I got home, and he called me, and we spent 2.5 hours on the phone, and he said, why don't we do one? And I said, well, it's not me. It's you. You got to do it.
But Bob's been great throughout. He's been shown great leadership throughout this
process. Let me say this. You know, I don't throw a lot of compliments. your way, well, the NHL's way. But it's great that the NHL's involved. It's a big step that that everybody seems to have is taking
an oar in the water.
Yeah, an oar in the water, because that's a big step in the right direction.
Yeah, I agree.
We'll see what happens.
Thank you.
Thanks a lot for coming. It's great to see you. Have a great rest of the summer.
See you guys. Thanks for having me.
Red Tail, if you get the chance. Don't forget.
Okay, do it.
Bill Daly, the Deputy Commissioner of the National Hockey League.